Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Colossians chapter 2 and now verse 4. And I'm going to pretty much skim over these verses 4, 5, and 6, and 7, because verse 4 and verse 8, I'm going to tie together. And so I'm going to wait till we get to verse 8 before we teach verse 4, because they both teach about deception, about being beguiled. So we'll put them together. Verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." A verse just comes to mind. Like I told Jerry, a lot of times these things I don't intend to do, but we trust the Spirit has a reason for it. Come back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because I'm sure this is exactly what's on the apostle's mind as he writes, is as he shared it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Now remember, the Corinthian letters were written several years before these prison epistles. But nevertheless, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 and 28. "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness," and I even skip the more gross events, such as his beatings with rods and being stoned with stones and so forth. But all of these things were part and parcel of the apostle's life and experience. And then verse 28, "Beside those things," the physical suffering, "that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care," or the concern of what? All the churches, all the congregation. So, I mean, the man was just constantly burdened, wondering, well, how's that church in Philippi doing? How are the folks over in Colossae doing? How are the folks at Ephesus? And all these that he had been a part and parcel of was on his mind constantly. And so now if you come back to Colossians chapter 2, I can't help but feel that this was on his mind as he wrote verses 5 and 6. "Yet I'm joying and beholding your order, your steadfastness in faith in Christ, rooted, built up in him." All right, now then I'm going to come into verse 8 and, like I said, tie that up with verse 4. What's the first word? Beware. Look out. See? There's danger ahead. And what's the danger? False teaching. You know, I've often said, I know that with God, he's sovereign and he saw to it that it survived. But have you ever stopped to realize what a miracle it is that Christianity ever survived? Isn't it a miracle that it ever survived? Here it was just a little group of believers brought out of paganism. Paul and Barnabas, or a little later on, Paul and Silas would teach them for a few weeks and leave them. No printed book to leave with them. No trained pastor to leave with them. And then they would move on. And then with all of the false teaching, the Judaizers who would come right behind the apostle and say, "Now wait a minute, people. Don't you believe what this apostle is telling you, that you're saved by this alone? You have to keep the law. You have to be circumcised." I just am amazed that it all survived. But, of course, God is sovereign and he watched over it. We know that. But now then, verse 8 again, beware lest any man. So I have to think that in the Colossian church there was probably somebody who was guilty of this, and Paul didn't name him, but he certainly made the congregation aware of what he was doing. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and its world system, and not after Christ. See? All right, now I'll tie that up with verse 4. And this I'll say, lest any man should beguile you with what? Enticing word. Now listen, I've been telling people for 25 years, you're not going to have someone come in behind your pulpit and just flat out say, now look, folks, I am going to deceive you. You know better than that. Nobody would do that. But they come up there like wolves in sheep's clothing, don't they? And again, I got a call from, I think it was West Texas, where they'd had a guest speaker situation. And it was pitiful. But yet she said the congregation didn't even realize what he was. Well, it was a wolf in sheep's clothing, see? And I'm sure the guy didn't come into that pulpit and say, okay, I'm going to fill you up with false teaching. But instead, they make it sound like they're the authority, and like he says here, with enticing words. All right, now let's compare that then with the apostle himself, and let's go back to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Because Paul is always showing the opposite side of the coin with his own ministry, that he would never deceive anybody. He would never bring something, anything but the truth. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. All got it? Now he says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Avoid them. See? Avoid them. Now verse 18. For they that are such, false teachers, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or their own physical, material appetites. Boy, doesn't that ring a bell? Doesn't that ring a bell? My, they'll come into our congregations and just milk them from start to finish to line their own pockets. All right? And by good words and fair speeches, what's the next word? They deceive. See? They deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, we're not talking about simple-minded people. We're talking about believers who are not yet rooted in the truth. And like a child who was still simple, these early believers could be so easily led astray. And so Paul is warning them. And such people are out for nothing but to fill their own physical and material desires. All right, let's go to another one right down the page in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I think I want verse 4. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Now, this is how he came to these congregations, as opposite the false teachers. And he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But, put the subject back in, my words were a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You remember I told you in the last half hour? Paul likes that word. The Holy Spirit inspires him to use it every once in a while. That it was the power of God that kept driving him on. All right, now then the next verse, verse 5. Why did the man just simply totally depend on the power of the Holy Spirit and to make sure that everything he said was honest, above board, and was to enhance their spiritual well-being? Here it is. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of what? Men. See? Our faith isn't set in the wisdom of men. And as we're going to see, we get back to Colossians here in the next verse. Or the philosophies or the traditions of men. That's not where our faith rests. Our faith rests in the Word of God. All right, read verse 5 again. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but it should stand or rest or set in concrete, is the word I like to use over and over, in what? In the power of God. See, then you're on solid ground. All right, let's go to another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where we just were a moment ago. But now verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. You know, I'm always afraid I don't use enough verses, and yet I don't want to use too many so that we waste time. But drop in at verse 13, I guess. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are what kind of apostles? False. See? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, of their own volition. They are self-proclaimed. Next verse. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Scary language, isn't it? What does it tell us? Oh, we have to be so careful. We can't just sit down and say, well, that man's using the Bible. He's behind the pulpit. He's behind the sacred desk. What he says must be true. Don't you ever do that. Not with me or anybody else. But what we have to look at is it lining up with the Word of God. See? Verse 15, reading on. So they are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know what that tells me? They're going to be at the great white throne. They're going to be at the great white throne. And you know who's there? Nobody but lost people. Because these men cannot be the possessors of eternal life, or they could not be used of Satan in such a way. All right, now I've got another one down in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, dropping down to verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That is in our spiritual learning. That we be not as children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now there again, you have no idea how many people will call and say they've been in that group and that group and that group and that group. Sometimes 5, 6 different groups, and they're all just as bad as the other. And then finally they saw the light and came out and embellished the truth. But listen, the world is full of these false teachings. A lot of times it's the cults, but not always. All right, and so Paul is warning us here, see, that we're not to be carried around with every wind of doctrine or teaching by the sleight of men, or, as he said a little while ago, with their fast and smooth talk, or their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? To deceive. See? That's their job. That's all they're living for, is to deceive the masses. And oh, we're seeing it, see? And yet the Scripture warns us that those kind of people are to be avoided at all costs. All right, I think I've got one more in the next chapter yet, honey. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. See how much Paul deals with beware of deception? Almost as much as the positive. This is what we have to be careful of. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain or worthless words. For because of these things, because of these false teachers, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And these guys are going to be part of it. They're going to be part of the people that they have deceived. So then, verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Stand up and just say, hey, I'm not going to follow this. Now, we've got people in other states around the country that have come out of some of these groups, and they'll admit, how in the world did we sit there for 10 years and listen to this stuff? But they didn't know any better. I hope I can say this and get away with it. One guy said, we had a fellow come into our church, and he says, now look, people, so far as you are concerned, I am your God. And he said, it just didn't bother us a bit. See? You'd be surprised what we hear. But that's what's out there. And he said, the rank and file of people are still going. But the Lord opened their eyes and they came out of it. But see, this is what the Apostle Paul was constantly aware of, that you had all these false teachers coming in and hoodwinking the people. Oh, I could stand here all afternoon and just tell you phone call after phone call of what people are telling us they're being subjected to. I'll tell you in private. I'm going to tell the whole world. But it is. It's frightening, see? Well, this is why. And even the Lord Himself. Let's go back to the words of the Lord Jesus Himself in Matthew 24. My Oklahoma classes, I almost deluged them with this verse for 6 months straight. Every week, I would remind them what the Lord said in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and let's just start at verse 3. Matthew 24, and we'll start at verse 3. Lest you think I'm hung up on Paul and can't use anything else, I'll prove I can. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he, the Lord Jesus, there in his earthly ministry, and this is before the crucifixion, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples, the 12, came unto him privately. In other words, without the press of the crowds, it was just Jesus and the 12. And they said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Now look what Jesus answered. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, be careful, be awake, and let no man, what? Deceive you. Now what does that tell you? That's a sign of the end time. That the world is just going to be inundated with deception. Because we know the world has to be made ready for the man of sin, the global leader that's coming on the scene. We're getting closer and closer, I feel. And so consequently, in order to get the world ready for him, Satan is deceiving them so that they'll be ready for him with open arms. But you and I are to know better. We're not to fall into that trap. We're not to be ready for the man of sin. We're to be ready for the head of the body at his soon return. All right, now let's go back to Colossians. Again, I thought I'd finish it today, Jerry, and I don't think we're going to make it. Colossians chapter 2. Reading on in verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, that is, the thoughts and the mind of educated men. Now, again, always be careful. I got nothing against education. But I'm going to look at it the way the Scripture does, that when they get puffed up and feel that their thoughts and their own ideas supersede the Scripture, yeah, then I have to get my hackles up and say, now listen, we're not going to go by the intellectual ideas of men and their philosophies and their vain deceit. Nor are we going to follow their tradition. Now, you'd be surprised how many times I can ask a pastor a particular thing that they may not agree with me. And so I'll ask them, okay, show me in the Scripture why you do what you do. Well, they can't. Then why do you do it? And then after a blank stare of about 30 seconds, here it comes. Tradition. Tradition. And oh, how Paul hated the word. How the Apostle Paul hated tradition. You say, well, where do you get that? Back up a few pages to Galatians. Chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And, of course, Galatians 1 and 2 is a recap, of course, of his early ministry. And chapter 1, of course, his conversion on the road to Damascus. But he's giving us a brief glimpse of his background. Galatians chapter 1, we'll start at verse 11. Galatians 1, and we'll begin at verse 11. But he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He's not following philosophy of men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that's the mystery again that he referred to in Romans, see? Now he says, you have heard, verse 13, of my conversation or manner of living in times past in the Jews' religion, Judaism, temple worship, the whole nine yards. And how that beyond measure I persecuted the church or the assembly, I always use, of God and wasted it. In other words, those Jewish believers who had embraced Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. And they had come aside out of the mainstream of Judaism, although they still kept temple worship, remember. But they were now congregating on their own and recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah. All right, that's the people then that the Apostle Paul just ravaged because he thought they were imposters and that they were heretics. But that's not what I want you to see. Verse 14. Verse 14. And he says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation. Now here it comes, being more exceedingly zealous of the, what? Traditions, see? Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of what people? The fathers, see? Now you want to remember, and we're going to see this a little more clearly. Come back to Colossians chapter 2. We'll see this a little more clearly as we come along. That the Judaism of Christ's day was a far cry from the original with Moses and the tabernacle worship in the wilderness. A far cry. Well, what had happened? Well, you know, the rabbis, bless their hearts, they would sit there by the hour and by the days and by the months, and they would be examining all these concepts of the Torah, and then they would, well, like today, we would set up a commentary of what it really meant, see? Well, after all these rabbis had made these commentaries concerning the Torah, especially Judaism, from what I've been able to gather from Jewish writing by the time of Christ, was 613 rules. See? 613. Now, I'm going to be commenting on that again when we get to the verse that they've been crucified. But nevertheless, that was the tradition of the fathers that the Saul of Tarsus had been steeped in. I dare say he knew all 613 forwards and backwards and from the middle both two directions. He just knew them. It was part and parcel of him. See? Well, we're seeing the same thing today when people are steeped in some false cult for a lifetime, maybe 70 years. And then they begin to see the truth. But is it easy? No, it's never easy. And it's a battle to pull away from it. And every time they make a step forward, that old pull draws them back. Well, you see, this is what Paul knew was to follow the traditions of men, see? And so even for us, now you can come back to Colossians again. Even for us today, we have to be constantly aware. Are you simply following what Grandpa believed? Or what if Grandpa's in hell? You going to follow him there?
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.